For our next speaker, Marjorie Stocks, let me just say a little bit about Marjorie. Marjorie Stocks, MPH, is a consultant with the California Dental Association Foundation. Ms. Stocks was previously the director for the Dental Health Foundation's Fluoridation Implementation Project and project director for the California Fluoridation Task Force. Please welcome Marjorie Stocks.
Howard, is it which key?
Yes,
is it the enter key?
Yeah, enter key. Yeah.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I see lots of familiar faces here, so it's great to be here. I have no personal, relevant financial or commercial relationships with any product or service discussed in my presentation. Okay. Here we go. The remarks that I'm going to share with you today really rest on top of everything that Ellie has just described. This has been a long journey in San Diego, and I'm looking right at Myron because Myron was here right from the get-go when we looked at this, or when I looked at this 12 years ago, and Ron Roberts reminded me earlier goes back much further than that. So it's been a journey. We've learned a lot over the last 10 years or so in California, and I like to say to people, I think we're just much better at what we do. We're much more effective now than we were years ago. From my vantage point, in order to move fluoridation forward in a community, it's really vital to develop the infrastructure before you take anything to any public action. And again, we were able to do that here. I want to say that I think that moving forward in San Diego was infinitely easier after we were able to do a Metropolitan Water District. It just changed the nature of kind of the face of fluoridation in Southern California. So that was huge for us. And so our work really rests on that. Anyway, developing that infrastructure is complex and lengthy. But what we did when we came to San Diego this time was we created a steering committee, an advisory committee. We continued to work on media support, which we had garnered previously and laboriously over a period of 10 years. We definitely counted on the coalition once again to continue to do what they were doing, and we knew we had to identify funding because the money that we did have and that funded communities and entities such as Metropolitan was exhausted. We had $15 million from the California Endowment. That money had been all allocated. The goal, obviously, in when you're going after this kind of infrastructure is to develop local public policy in favor of fluoridation. And whenever I talk to people now in a community, I keep reminding them that this is really a public health issue, and that's how the issue gets moved. It's a public health issue in a community. It is definitely important to demonstrate a level of community support to the decision makers. They want to know a couple of things. It's always local. They want to know what's going on in their backyard, in their district, in their community. What's the level? What's the carries rate? What does the data really look like? And then it's a process of educating them on some just what surrounds that. When a kid needs to leave school because they've got a problem, what's the downtime for the parent? What's the loss of revenue to the school district? What's the experience like for the child? All those things go into telling the story that people really need to hear in order to make this decision. Local opposition to fluoridation will appear. I've been in 16 communities in California, and I wish I had a nickel for everyone that said it won't happen here. It's not going to happen in our community. They don't. It's in San Diego. We don't think like that here. So hello, it will happen in your community, and people who are opposed to fluoridation have been active here for many years, and I think we've also become remarkably effective in communicating with decision makers and also the public about some of the messaging. We've just gotten better at it. We've relied heavily on Dr. Pollack for our strong foundation on the science, but we've also gotten better about communicating and messaging. The steering committee for us was really vital, and they aren't here today, but I cannot thank them enough. Former or retired state senators Dee Albert and Lucy Collet, just well known to people in this county, highly respected, came forward and willing to chair our advisory committee, and it made all the difference in the world. Who they are, what they stand for in the region is phenomenal, really, and it allowed us to move forward much more rapidly and directly than in the past. On our advisory committee, we have every major healthcare player in the region at the VP level and above, and this is also key because those individuals can speak for their institutions. We like academic institutions. University of California Medical Center, Rich Lechwick, he's the CEO there, is part of our team. We have business leaders on board, banking, Union Bank is with us, Chicano Federation, and United Way, to name a few. We also have public health. Bud Beck, a public health physician in the area, is with us. And again, these are people who are knowledgeable about what's going on in the area, but can also carry the message to partners that they have. And again, it's changed the picture here for us, have created major entrees. The media, as Ellie mentioned, is critical, and I will say just right up front to people now, in any community, especially, well, it goes for any community, if you don't have your major media outlet on board, you will not prevail. It's not going to work. And again, it was a journey here. I think we went public with fluoridation at an APHA convention many years ago, probably at least 10, 12 years ago, in San Diego. And the Union Tribune has really come along, and again, thanks to Ellie for answering numerous questions, clarifying a lot of confusion, which is critical. You have to clean it up. If it's inaccurate, you have to get to it. And also Howard Pollack has been very available to make that happen. There have been editorials in the Union Tribune that I frankly have not seen anyplace else in the state. And I think it's just a function of who's been involved. It's really been a call to action, and they've been quite supportive of the work of First Five and also Supervisor Roberts. It's important when you work with the media to keep the focus on what's going on in the community. Sometimes those messages will start spinning out, and it'll become the pro-fluoride arguments versus the anti-arguments. Take it right back to your story. Something we were able to do before we ever brought the issue public was we worked with Children's Hospital, Grady Children's Hospital, Anderson Dental Center. We had media in there. We had TV cameras in there. The practitioners were able to tell the story. The child was in the chair. The parent was nearby. Carry your message in a non-campaign environment, something I learned at CDC many years ago, and it's still absolutely true. Make your case. Make it human. Make it real for people. And, of course, it's always important to have the data, as good as you can get it, frankly. Community coalitions are essential, and I don't know if it's obvious, but the strongest coalition we have anywhere in the state is in San Diego. And what Ellie mentioned, I just need to echo, people have been absolutely tireless here. And something they were able to do early on, they were willing to go out. I remember they divvied up the list, went out to these community-based organizations, made presentations, had dialogues with the community, with the people at the agency, but also the people that the agency served. And education needs to take place on many levels, at the level of the media and also at the level of the community. People need to have a place to dialogue. And that happened, again, over a decade here, and I think had a lot to do with now what I would consider acceptance of fluoridation. And again, it's important to work with local public health whenever that's possible. Since the endowment money was exhausted, it was critical that we locate other funding. And again, I just want to acknowledge Supervisor Roberts and his leadership on this issue, if it weren't for his efforts and that of First Five, we would not be having this conversation. It's just been significant. I'm not going to say too much about that. He'll expand on that. I do want to mention, though, that First Five commissions in Los Angeles County and also Sacramento County have made substantial commitments to fluoridation. In LA, I think it was 18, 19 million, and Sacramento, I think about 14 million.
People may not know what First Five is.
I'm sorry. First Five is every county has a local first five commission,
well, maybe,
and
maybe
it was the.
Maybe
you want
Rob
to? Okay, Rob's going to take
carry
it.
Carry on.
Okay.
Question. Okay.
Yes. Okay. And just to mention once more that the California Endowment had allocated $15 million. I think most of you know that. That kind of jump-started the fluoridation effort in California. It followed closely. It followed the law very closely. I'm going to switch hats here for a minute and put my California Dental Association hat on and make some remarks on behalf of John Roth, the executive director of the foundation, who is unable to be here today. So these are pretty much his comments. Wanted to point out certainly that the role of organized dentistry has been pivotal in getting the issue on the table. And I would say that's really statewide. In every community, certainly, that I've gone into, I turn to dentistry first. And I want to acknowledge just a few local leaders here. Dr. Richard Hancock isn't in the room. Dr. Lester Machado, the current president of San Diego Dental Society, and also Dr. Cobb. Without the dental societies really growing these leaders who are willing to go public on fluoridation, we just wouldn't be able to move the issue. California Dental Association also supports the efforts of our local advisory council. They have a role as a coordinating body. They certainly house the funds from the endowment and administrated that money statewide. We're a full partner on that. And they also house our statewide advisory council, which I'll talk about in just a minute. And I don't know if people know, but CDA also currently has a contract. We work with First Five in managing the effort in San Diego County. Something else I want to mention is, Ellie didn't say, but we've encountered some legal problems statewide. We've had a lawsuit in Escondido. We've had them in other places in the state. And CDA has really been able to come forward, apply their resources to address the issue in the courts. And without that, we simply wouldn't be able to continue working. The opponents to fluoridation have gotten very clever. They're very good at what they do, and we have to meet them where they go. And in some cases, it's been in the courts. So CDA has really been right there. Our Fluoridation Advisory Council is really an outgrowth of the task force. You can pretty much take a look at the members here, but we have public relations people. Howard is our scientific chair. We Edgar Dimley with Metropolitan Water District, an engineer, is there. Ellie talked for a minute about engineers, and I just want to say it's important to provide education, to create a dialogue, to work with them as you would any other member of the community. It's really critical. Our current methodology is that our advisory council meets monthly. CDA monitors the media statewide, and there's this remarkable fluidity. This is a lot of work, people, but the truth is it works. If you get it going at the local level and you get the infrastructure there and you have a statewide body that's really watching, that has the overview, where that collects the statewide experts, you get this amazing, and you talk to each other, there's an amazing fluidity between the two. And so people are covered. So I get a call from, most recently, a place near Malibu. They needed some help. A city council, or a water board, rather, wanted a group to come down and give them some support. We're able to pull in the right people. This is how we work. So we're always on top of it. And this way, you can't, so things don't go unanswered. And of course, we work very closely with the American Dental Association. So in summary, in order to really get this done, it's vital to create a strategy, to be flexible, to be frankly opportunistic sometimes, to reevaluate where you're going. As I said, you need to develop the infrastructure locally and at the state level. Train your team members, provide speakers training, whatever you need to do so that they're really up to speed before they get in front of a camera. And fluoridation is not a sprinter's game, at least in California. It's definitely a marathon. But so far, I think we're pretty much on top of it. Thank you very much.
We really have the experts on the panel. And thank you very much, Marjorie. It's been a pleasure working with you over the years, and I know that we're going to continue to do that. Before I introduce Ron Roberts, I just wanted to make an announcement about continuing education forums. The co-moderator for this session is Charla Lauter, who's here and has those forms. She will be at the back of the room at the end of the session. You can get continuing education this year for the first time at no charge through the American Dental Association for dentists and dental hygienists. And we do need the evaluation forms filled out anonymously and then a separate form with your identification information. A Berkeley-trained architect, which I'm glad to see because I live in Berkeley, Mr. Roberts served two terms on the San Diego City Council and was elected in 1994. Let me just move this thing through there.